Today on Sound Doctrine, we spotlight the power of worship and praise.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
You show up to church on Sunday or midweek, and as the service begins, you typically sing a few songs. We refer to it as worship and praise, but if you're like many, your heart really is not in it. Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll learn how we can be effective worshipers of God, just as David was. Pastor Jeff Johnson is knee-deep in his study of 1 Chronicles. We join him now in chapter 25 for part 2 of The Power of Worship and Praise.
So, wherefore Saul sent out messengers to Jesse, and Jesse said, "Send me David, thy son, and which is with the sheep." And he had that shepherd's heart. He loved the sheep, and that's something very special. God was preparing him for the place he had for him. He had him out in the sheepfold for a long time. Learned a lot of lessons out there. Jesse took an ass laden with bread. Notice, and a bottle of wine. We're going to have the bread and the wine tonight, aren't we? Oh, special things to bring us together. And a kid, and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. So, this is going to be a time of sweet, sweet worship. As we wait upon the Lord, as we are served communion tonight, we're going to have a special time of worship to the Lord. And it's a time where we have that examination of ourselves, whether we are in the faith. And this is for those who are in the faith. This is for those who have received Christ. And this ties us all together. This is a unique time where you can do it as often as you want. You can do it in your own home anytime you want. You don't have to be a priest or a pastor. You just do it. Do it with your family. Do it with your kids. Oh, what an intimate time. You just share the scripture and then you partake. And then you have some worship. It's very, very special. It's in remembrance of him. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Notice, Saul was the biggest hurt in David's life. Chasing him, hating him, wanting to kill him, wanted to destroy him, wanted to wipe him out through there was three spears, boing, you know, right against, right near his head. Wanted to take him out with a spear. Three times, David just kind of quietly moved away and just, you know, kind of went over to the side and let him go off. And he'd throw another one, he'd just move away. But when he came in front of him, he loved him. He loved this unlovely man, this man full of anger, full of this evil spirit. He loved him. In fact, I believe that David saw him as preparation for him being king. It's weird, huh? Why would God give you such a person to hang around with? He's preparing you for something, man. Those of you who got bosses like that, you know, whatever. God builds us up through our trials, doesn't he? And through those, you know, those irregular people that come into our lives that just rub us the wrong way. You can go off on them and you can, you know, go home to your wife and scream and holler and I can't stand it, you know, and I don't know what to do. I want to hit something, you know. Or you can go home and just say, Lord, give me love for that guy. Give me love. And man, what a difference, though. You start praying for them. You can't hate somebody if you're praying for them. Remember that. Pray for them. Have pity. God had pity on us. He saw us in the gutter. He saw us all messed up, crying out, lost. And the good shepherd came to us and picked us up and set us on a solid rock. What about someone else that's all whacked out? Yeah, God can do it. So he loved him greatly. So David, he loved. He didn't judge. He loved. Verse 23, and it came to pass. You know, it's through his worship the Lord was known. The evil spirit from God was upon Saul, okay? And he would come down upon him. And David took the harp and played with his hand, like Rodrigo Rodriguez. So Saul was, notice, and what is one of the outcomes of worship? To be refreshed. We should be always refreshed when we come together and worship together. It's a refreshing thing that God does as we worship. And notice, he was well. He became sane in the period of time that David was playing and worshiping. It actually brought healing, and the evil spirit departed from him. Whoa, that is powerful. How does that happen? Well, I know this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when his people begin to worship, God inhabits. And if there's anyone near you that's going through it, they're going to be hit by it. They're going to be touched by it. It's going to have an effect. This is why, you know, when people come in here, and especially a service like this, it's pretty heavy. You've just joined with the family of God, and if you're not part of it, then you're gonna sense what's going on here is very spiritual. It's very unique. There's nowhere in the world like anything like this. This is highly unique. This is the church coming together, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering what he did on that cross for us, and worshiping him. We've never even seen him, but we worship him with all of our body, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. He's captured us completely. And he refreshes us, and he touches us. So number 10, I didn't number all of them, did I? There's 10 of them. Go back and find them. That's your homework. A good musician, a good worshiper, will bring refreshment and healing and deliverance to those around. Now, let's get back to our text. And as we turn there, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, it says, moreover, David, now, talking about lining up all the musicians, and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph. Now, you'll see Asaph all the way through Psalms. Asaph wrote a lot of the Psalms. And then He-Man. And he was a He-Man. And Jeduthun. And who should prophesy. So these three, all of the musicians would, these are the families, the heads of the families. And it says, who should prophesy, which is an interesting thing. We're going to look at that word in a moment, with harps. So they're going to prophesy. That means to bring forth God's word with these instruments, psalteries, and with cymbals. The number of the workmen according to their service was. And then he begins to lay it out here. So David, over the years, he proved that he was not only qualified, but he proved that he could do this, and he could line these guys up, and everything would be taken care of when finally David would step out of the scene and the temple would begin to be rebuilt, that all these pieces that he brought together would mesh. This is the body of Christ. This is the temple of God, which is in heaven. God gave the blueprints to David, who gave it to Solomon. So the sons, verse 2, of Asaph, And then he shares the sons' names, which prophesied, notice in verse 2, according to the order of the king. There's two reasons for worship and music. Number one, to give God's word place in our lives. It prepares our hearts to receive his word. And number two, in order to praise him. So the worship, the music, is to praise the Lord. And the sons of Jeduthun, and he goes on to say, who prophesied in verse 3, with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Again, this whole thing of prophecy, prophesied. Over in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, you can just jot that down. 1 Corinthians 14, 3, it gives us the definition of prophecy. He says, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. I love it. So prophecy is to build up the body of Christ and to exhort the body of Christ, to stir it up. And that's what God's word does when it's brought forth. And I'm telling you, I've heard musicians. Now, I know pastors, they should do all of the above and bring comfort. That's what the scriptures do, right? It builds us up, it stirs us up, and it cheers us up. It comforts us. And we need that. And that's why we come. That's what we need to hear. We need to hear all those things. But I'm telling you, sometimes I want you to check this out. Next time we have a musician that comes up here and sings and shares special songs and leads us in worship, that some of the songs that they're singing are prophetic in what they're saying. They are actual prophecies given to the body of Christ. And I've been blown away at some of the ones that have come out here. And sometimes I'll even bring that to your attention. Man, that was prophetic, you know, because they are. It was stirring, it was building up, and it was cheering up. I mean, it's a special word to prophesy. So he prophesied with a harp to give thanks to praise the Lord. Then verse 5, interesting. All these were the sons of Heman. Now, Heman wrote, he prophesied, he raised a family to praise God. This man did actually more than the rest of them that we're going to talk about, because this man raised two more sons and daughters than all the rest of the men that are mentioned here. He was a part of the ministry team. His family was in the worship ministry, and they were tight, and they worked together. All the sons and daughters. Notice, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn. The horn is the shofar. The shofar is always the beginning of the time. And I love it when Christy, with her, you know, worship group, when we have the Jubilee out in the foyer, it's such a great sounding for praise and worship. And she'll bring in the whole group at one time, and she's leading them, blowing on the shofar, and she really blows it great. And you just hear it down the hallway, echoing. And what is the shofar? It's a ram's horn that is bringing in the presence of the Lord. And it's just such an awesome, you know, feeling. And when you hear the horn, and you see the kids coming in, and then they start to worship. So he'd lift up the horn, and God gave to Heman 14 sons, 3 daughters. That man was blessed. He had a legacy, right? And they were all mightily used in the worship. They were all part of it. They were excited about it. They loved the songs. They loved to worship the Lord. And notice, verse 6, these were all under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord. There was a great love, a great respect for dad and for mom. They were under total submission. And as far as mom's called mom and dad, so come on, kids, we're all going to be in this ministry together. We're all going to serve the Lord together. We're all going to worship the Lord together. What a great thing. That's why I'm telling you guys, when you're in your car and all the rugrats are everywhere, calm them down by just putting in a CD and a CD of children worship that they hear here. There's plenty of them over there. And you guys take off. And you won't believe what a ride you'll have. With the Lord, you know, doing it all, leading y'all. And it's just a great time. And then when you come into church, especially in communion times, when you can have some of the younger kids come in, it's a great time to worship together as a family. And that's good for the kids to see. And they'll be into it already because you're already doing it in the car. And you're already doing it at home. So when they come in here, they're not going to be, hey, give me my iPad, you know. You know, take them away from them. Don't even bring them in here. It's not a time to be working on your iPad or your iPhone. And why would you want to steal time away from God? This is our time to hear the voice of the Lord, our time to worship the Lord. And we need to be good teachers to our children that there's times where you will be respectful and you will sit before the Lord and get into it. But again, you got to do it at home. If it's not in the home, how can it be here? Think about that. They'll be bummed. When they come here, they're just going to want to whip it out and go for it. Because they don't know this. This is strange to them. We need to help them not be strangers, to see the importance of what we're doing right now. And what hard knock life did you have to finally get you here? Think about what you went through. Think about the stubbornness and rebellion and everything going on, man. And finally, here you are. And you came willingly. No one forced you to come in here tonight. You walked in here freely. Freely wanting to partake and worship and be a part of this experience. Why would we do that? Because Hebrews says it best, seeing that we are living in the last days. Hebrews 10:25. Knowing that we're right there. What should we be doing? Well, we should be meeting more so. And you don't usually, you Wednesday guys are the ones that are really hungry. The Sunday guys, you know, hey, I show up every Sunday. Okay. Do you feed your body once a week? What are you talking about, you know? Well, think about it. No, we need to feed our spirit. And even more so. I know some of you come 4 or 5 times a week. During the week, you're here a lot because you want to be fed. You're hungry. And then you get involved in a ministry and you're really hungry because you're busy. And when you're busy for the Lord, you get really hungry and you want more. Because to be involved in ministry, you got to go to the well twice as much with a bigger bucket. Because you got to give. You got to feed. So we need this. More than ever, especially in these days, knowing that the days are, there's many forsaking the gathering of us together. Tonight, they're home watching stupid TV. If you watch stupid TV, you become stupid. I don't know. I think it'll be proven. You'll become wise. As serpents, gentle as doves. This is good. So, all these instruments, again, made by David, verse 6. So the number of them, which their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord. See, they're being instructed in these songs. Even all that were cunning. Cunning means gifted, skilled. Was 288, 288 in the orchestra alone. I mean, they had huge orchestras. We have a small one here, but we use instruments because the Bible says to use instruments. I don't know where these groups that are not, you know, disallowing, you know, instruments in the church and stuff, they just get off on a kick or something. It's the law or something. But oh, instruments can praise the Lord so beautifully. And it helps us to get in to that praise. So remember what it said in verse 8. He said they cast lots. And again, they're casting lots. They're seeing who's going to play at what time. And they're nobody's better than anybody else. They just, you know, take a straw, you know, see when you come in, or cast the lot. And it says they cast lots, ward against ward, where they would go, as well as small as the great, the good one, the good guys that play really good, the ones that don't play so good, the teacher as the scholar. So just like Corinthians says, let all things be done decent and in order. And when this thing was put together, this temple, it was decent. It was in order. There was a flow to it. And, you know, that's what we're always praying. Lord, show us the flow. So for years now, we have done certain things, and it's been tradition because we do it all the time. But sometimes we change it up. But so far, we've found a pretty good flow for Sunday mornings. It's a little different than Wednesday nights and Wednesday nights. And throughout the week, through all the ministries, everybody has their different flow. But it's all done decent and in order. And twice each month, the worship would change and someone else would come in. It wasn't all laid out on one person. It's a body ministry. Worship is a body ministry. That's why we have many different music groups here. And we have some great groups that work together. And when you work together for a long time, you become really skillful in your leading. And it becomes more sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I mean, it just gets better and better.
We'll break away from the message right here, but stick around. Pastor Jeff Johnson will be back. This is Sound Doctrine for a Thursday. Well, to hear this program again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. You might also download our free app. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your mobile devices. We can also send you a CD copy of the message when you call us. 800-353-7553. Just mention today's date, and the suggested donation is $5. It's becoming increasingly clear that Jesus is coming very soon. But how will it all go down? What can we expect? Pastor Jeff carefully examines both Old and New Testaments, showing how close we are to the Lord's return in a special DVD called End Times Scenario. I know you'll find it encouraging and maybe order an extra copy or two to give away. It's just $10 through our website at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Please remember us in your prayers and giving to the Lord. We want everything done and said to bring glory to God and help you live according to sound doctrine. To donate, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Now let's finish up our study in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
So I'm not going to go through 9 to verse 31, because as you can see, everyone had 12 sons and daughters. And we don't need to do that. There's a reason for that, because it all has redundance. It's all about legacy. It's all about handing it down. It's all about these are the ones that will carry on the tradition. And it'll go on and on and on. Verse 31, there would be finally 4 and 24. There'd be 24. And so musicians were divided into 24 companies. And that's what he's sharing here, and that's what he's laying down for the future. So it's never been about position. It's never been about preeminence, but about humility, that we would humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and the Lord would lift us up. That's what it's about. It's that we walk humbly before him. He does the work in us and through us. It is a body ministry. We're all here together because we have different gifts. We all are a part of the body. That means we're all equally important. We all can do things that someone else can't do. Everyone has their abilities and their various gifts. And this is what we need to look into and find out. What's your gift? Then get into it and you're going to thrive. You're going to love it. It might be singing. It might be ushering. It might be mercy, giving mercy. It might be visitation. There's so many gifts. And we have people during the week, all week long, coming in just to do various ministries. Not everybody's hired here, you know. But there are those that are not on staff per se as far as pay and all. But they're just here. They serve the Lord. They have their jobs, but they actually have gotten the burden for more individuals and different gifts that God's given them.
Next time, join us when we'll pick up where we left off in 1 Chronicles with Pastor Jeff, here on Sound Doctrine. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,